Well, thanks, team, for prayer. It reminded me that when we were in Seattle, Betty and I and the boys, 20 or 30 years ago, one of the associate pastors that we had on staff was named Ken Hutcherson. You might recognize that name. He was an NFL linebacker. And he always, when he stepped up to the microphone for a sermon to pray, the first thing he did was pray, and he said, "Lord, move me out of the way so that they can hear your message." And that's what the team did. Prayed to God so that we can hear the message that he's given us to present. You know, when I step up here and look over at Pastor Bill and Carol, it just blesses my heart to see him. And he said, "Gary, I'm praying for you." And I said, "Keep doing it during the service, will you?" We have been studying in the book of Colossians, and this is the fifth message that you've heard out of the book of Colossians. And the title of the series of sermons that we picked is "Christ in Us, Our Hope and Glory." Look for that reference as we read our scriptures today. Well, we started off with Pastor Raymond introducing the book of Colossians, and he reminded us that if we've trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are a new creation. And together, the church, Wood Village Baptist Church, we are the new we. And then Gordy reminded us that the Apostle Paul had good things to say about the Colossians, even though he really hadn't met a lot of them. But he thanked God for three things: their faith, their love, and their hope. And as I look out on you guys today, I can praise God for that same thing: your faith, your love, and your hope. And then Ron Cleese brought us a message that through the Spirit of God, we can live what he called the good life. And then he reminded us that that was the life that God wanted us to live. We can be filled and faithful. We can be light to those around us, no longer in darkness, and we can be free. Well, the main theme of the book of Colossians is the supremacy of Christ. And last week we heard Pastor Tom, that his message that Jesus Christ is creator, king, author of a new creation, that's his children, his family, the new we. And this week we're going to look at how Paul responds to that theme that Christ is supreme. And he talks about his own personal ministry. I'm going to read out of the book of Colossians, if I can get there. I'm going to be reading our scripture for today, and I'm reading out of the New International Version, Colossians 1, beginning at 24. Now, listen to this. And remember, listen for our main theme as we go through the scripture. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become his servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. In them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And that mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing or warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all of the energy Christ so powerfully gives to me. And then chapter 2, the first 5 verses, he continues with his ministry. He says, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent with you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Well, Paul lays out his ministry, and this is his own personal ministry, and we're going to talk a little bit about our personal ministry as we go along today. First of all, as we read verse 24, Paul tells the church that part of his mystery is in suffering. And as we read through the book of Acts, we see that suffering is not uncommon for the early church. Persecution would come first from the Jewish leaders and then later from Rome. And Paul faced personally ridicule, beatings. Finally, he was arrested and sent to Rome in chains. And that's where he is when he writes this letter to the church in Colossae. And Paul says 3 things about his suffering in verse 24. For those of you that kind of like to take notes, I'm a note taker, and your insert will kind of list some headings that we talk about, and the first one is his ministry of suffering. First of all, he says that the sufferings that I have, those things that I endure, are for the sake of others. He says to the Colossians, I am suffering for you. I'm suffering for the sake of the church. Paul was suffering for others, some of whom he hadn't even met. Well, secondly, Paul says that his sufferings are identified with Christ. Now, Christ gave his life to pay the price for man's sin, to be a bridge between a holy God and sinful man. And that price was paid in full with his death. Paul is talking about suffering with Christ. He says Christ is still suffering for his church. Remember when Paul was persecuting the church? He went up to Damascus. Christ appeared to him and he called him out. And he said, Saul, that was Paul's name at the time. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He made that personal. He suffers for his church, and Christ is still suffering for his church. Any attack on the church today is an attack on Christ. And now Paul says he's suffering for others. He's identifying his suffering with Christ. And now he says he's going to share in that suffering. And the third thing that he says about his suffering, get this. He says it's a source of joy. At first we think suffering, joy, how can those two be related? But the suffering that Paul is talking about is suffering for the sake of Christ. And Paul's joyful that God lets him participate in that suffering. It's an honor to Paul to suffer. It's not the feeling of suffering and the anguish and the pain that is bringing Paul joy, but it's the reason for that suffering. You know, the early church, full of suffering, persecution, even to the point of death, because they preached Christ. They preached the Messiah. They preached him as God and Lord. 2 weeks ago, Ron Cleese reminded us of the story in the book of Acts where Peter and John are preaching the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, and the Jewish leaders were jealous and they arrested them, put them in jail. In the middle of the night, the angel come and release them, open the door. They go out and continue to pray, and the Jewish council arrests them again. This time, they were beaten. They were flogged. And they were told never to preach in the name of Jesus again. Well, Peter and John left the council rejoicing, praising God because they had been counted worthy of suffering for the name of Jesus, and they never stopped preaching his name. This is the joy that Paul felt when he was allowed to suffer for the name of Jesus. Well, part of Paul's ministry was a ministry of suffering. They were for the sake of others. He identified that suffering with Christ. And they were a source of joy to him. Strength to continue on. Because he was proclaiming the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Well, Paul also had, he had a ministry of suffering. He also has a ministry of preaching. And in verses 25 to 29, Paul is describing that ministry. First of all, Paul said he felt the call to be a preacher of God's word. He said, I have been commissioned by God to present his word to the fullest. He had been appointed by God. He felt that to preach his message. Sometimes the feeling is very strong about what God wants you to do, what he wants you to do for him and for his church. Paul felt the strength of the appointment of God to preach. And then Paul goes on after he says, I've been appointed by God to do this. Then he describes his message in verses 26 and 27, and he calls it a mystery. One of our team prayed about the mystery. When we don't understand something, we say, it's a mystery to us. Here I'm going to go down a little rabbit trail. But if we had a math professor from MIT come and talk to us and addressed our congregation, and he lectured us on calculus and differential equations and numerical analysis. Pastor Tom has been there, right? Most of us will say, man, that's a mystery to me. I don't understand it. It may be true, but it's a mystery to me. Well, Paul says, I want to reveal a mystery to you, and I want to do it so that you'll understand it. And that ministry is Christ and who he is. You know, the Jewish people had been told that their Messiah was coming. Well, when he came, they rejected him. They didn't understand who he was. He was a mystery to them. And last week we heard Pastor Tom's message on the supremacy of Christ. He's creator, king, author of a new creation, the church. And that's the mystery that Paul says that's been hidden for ages and generations and is now revealed. It's revealed to his people. It's revealed to those who will understand. And this is Paul's message. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's also the title of our series of lessons on Colossians. Well, when we accept Christ, we are a new creation. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and he changes us. And the more that we yield to him, the more the change will be evident. Well, think about the first century church. Paul was a great example of what a new creation looked like. If you lived at this time, and another rabbit trail, if you had access to first century Google, let that sink in just a little bit. Some of you will know what Google is. Maybe some of you don't. When I talk to the second service, everybody's going to know what Google is. But if you had access to Google, first century, and you typed in new creature and pressed enter, up would pop the picture of Paul. He was an example of what the new creature was. Christ in us, our hope and glory. Well, Paul, as a younger man, or Saul as he was named then, was a student of the Jewish law. He studied under the best teacher in all of Jerusalem. And when Jesus' disciples, after Christ's death, called him Messiah and preached him as God in the flesh, Paul was enraged with that message. He did everything he could to stop them. He went into their homes. He pulled them outside, men, women, children. He watched as they were beaten and even killed. And he went to the high priest in Jerusalem and asked him for letters that would allow him to travel up to Damascus so he could continue the persecution of the Christians there. He wanted to stop the message of Jesus is Almighty God, our Messiah. Well, he was on the road to Damascus, and he met Jesus face to face, and he was transformed into a new creature. And in the book of Galatians, when Paul is writing to that church, he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He was saying, I'm a new creature. I was born again. Well, that was Paul's message. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then beginning in verse 28, if you're following along the outline there, Paul explains what his message is in presenting, what his method is in presenting this message. His method was action, not only words, but getting alongside and being involved, admonishing or warning when it was needed, teaching everyone that he came in contact with. And when a warning was needed, he would provide it gently and with compassion. His teaching was with wisdom and truth from the Holy Spirit. He was leading by example. That was his method. And then the purpose of his ministry of preaching is also found in verse 28. And that is to present every Christian fully mature in Christ. We need to be mentored. We need to be taught. If we're a mature Christian, we need to come alongside of someone who needs to learn, who needs to serve, who needs to be asking and yielding to the Spirit to continue to change their life. Paul knew what it meant to be a new creature, and he wanted every Christian to be the best that they could be. And Christ gave him the strength to do that. Well, Paul is presenting his personal ministry to the church in Colossae, and he has shown that it's a ministry of suffering, and it's a ministry of preaching. And now as he continues into chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, he shows that it's also a ministry of intercession, a ministry on their behalf, with them, shoulder to shoulder. And verse 1 of chapter 2 shows his deep concern. It reads, "I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those in Laodicea and for all those who I have not yet met personally." He mentions Laodicea, a city that was just a few miles from Colossae. And that city and church are mentioned several times in the New Testament. And in the book of Revelation, Laodicea is one of the seven churches that receives a letter from Christ. That's another lesson for another time. His goal is that they be encouraged in heart and united in love. Well, the first century church was a persecuted church, and one of the things they had going for them is each other. Paul prayed for encouragement and unity within that church. And we as elders and pastors pray the same for the church at Wood Village Baptist Church. He wanted them to know Christ deeply. He had reminded them of the supremacy of Christ, Creator, King, their Savior and Lord. And he wanted them to grow in that knowledge. He wanted them grounded in the truth of Christ, and he warns them about false teaching. He says, "I may not be with you in body, but I am with you in spirit, and I want you to stay firmly grounded in all the wisdom and knowledge of Christ." He says, stay focused on Christ, so no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. That's a good message for us today, isn't it? Yeah. There are a lot of things in this world that can distract us, and we need to be grounded, Christ in us, our hope and glory. Well, Paul had a ministry of suffering, a ministry of preaching, a ministry of intercession on behalf and with others. So here's my question to us today. What's our ministry? What's my ministry? What's your ministry? Well, if you're a child of God, you have a ministry. If you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you have a ministry. If you're a new creature, Christ in us, our hope and glory, you have a ministry. Paul said his ministry included suffering for Christ. You know, there are a number of places in the world where the church suffers that level of persecution, even to the point of death. So far, I believe the church in the United States doesn't suffer that level of persecution. Not all of you are as old as I am, and this is really going to be evident in the second service. But I remember a time when most of the people in the United States had the same values, basically, as Christians, their values. They may not have known Christ personally, but they would, if they were listing good values, they would probably list some of the same that we would. And I believe we're seeing a change now. Some groups are openly challenging Christian values, and they think that our values are hateful. And some groups ridicule the values that we hold high. Maybe we don't suffer like Paul did, but I believe we are called to sacrifice. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, "If any of you desire to come after me, you've got to deny yourself and pick up your cross daily and follow me." The emphasis, if you're a changed being, a changed creature, your emphasis is no longer on yourself. It's on Christ and others. Jesus said, "If you want to come after me, deny yourself." Our ministry includes sacrifice. It's sacrifice of our time, sacrificial giving. It's putting others first. We may not be called to suffer like Paul, but we're called to be sacrificial. Others are more important than us, and Christ is supreme. Well, Paul also said that his ministry included preaching. Not all of us are called to preach, but all of us are called to serve. We all need to be involved in an area of service. And I look out on this congregation, and most of you are. At Wood Village Baptist Church, hundreds are involved in our ministry to some respect. If some of you want to be involved more, or maybe even for the first time, talk to any of our pastors or any of our elders, and they will help you get grounded in that. We have a book that you have may seen. It's called Our Ministries. It used to be in the registration folders that we passed out. I always pass out the first service, but I've noticed that it's so popular that there are only two more left in those. But as you come in the first front door and you see the stack of pamphlets, this is one of them that you, if you want to see what our ministries are, and there are about a dozen of them listed, it outlines what they are. If that stack down there on the line gets pulled out, go see the office and they'll get you some more. We all need to be involved in a ministry. And Paul said his third part of his ministry was intercession, helping others, working with other people. The Christian life is family life. We need to be involved with one another. As you read the New Testament and read Paul's writings and others' writings, there are over 50 scriptures that tell us how we are to treat one another. Here are just a few. Above all, love one another. And as a result of that love, you'll find that you'll be encouraging one another, accepting one another, praying for one another, devoted to one another, honoring one another, bearing the burdens of one another, bearing with one another, serving one another, being at peace with one another, and the list goes on. Paul outlined his ministry. We need to outline ours. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we praise you as a supreme, sovereign, honorable, holy God who loved us so much. You gave his Son to pay the penalty and be a bridge between holy God and sinful man. And with the Spirit, Father, you've made us a new creature. Father, we need to yield to that Spirit completely in order to be the creature that you want us to be. But we are changed. We thank you, Father, for the ministries that you have available for us, and we identify that with you and your Son. Father, help us to live a life that is worthy of your calling. Thank you, Father, for this church and our staff and those that serve you, and they are many. Thank you, Father, for their dedication, for their sacrifice. Thank you for who you are. In Christ's name, amen.